Matthew 14, verse 13, I've looked the last couple of weeks at this thought about some mistakes I have found in the King James Bible. And before you wonder, I do not believe there are any mistakes in the King James Bible, but there are plenty of records of mistakes in the King James Bible. In other words, man does dumb things. By the way, you ladies are included with that. I mean mankind. And this Bible records some mistakes, dumb things, sinful things that mankind has done. I want to look at one of those this morning, verse 13. And when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into villages and buy themselves victuals." Now that's important. There's a problem, there's a need. This crowd is hungry and thirsty and tired. And the disciples' solution is to send them away. But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." The dilemma thickens. The problem worsens. Not only is there a crowd that's hungry, now Jesus says, "You feed them." The disciples are getting in deeper. Verse 17, "And they say unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, 'Bring them hither to me.'" I'll stop reading there. I want you to turn now to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Another account of the same record or the same event. And I want to start reading in verse 1. John 6, 1. "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is a Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with the disciples, and the Passover, the feast, the Jews were nigh. And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him," the same crowd that we read about in Matthew. "And he said unto Philip," he points out, picks on one man of the disciples, Philip. Here's his question. Here's the dilemma. Here's the problem. "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, to test him. For he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." 200 pennyworth, in that day was about 8 months of salary of wage. So it was a large crowd, listen to me, a large need, a big problem. Notice what he says. Verse 1, "And of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's Peter, brother, said unto him, 'There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?' And Jesus said, 'Make the men sit down.' Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Of course, that's not counting children and wives, probably at least 15,000, we don't know. Whether there was 15 or 5, 5's an awful lot, big number. I say again, a big problem. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. I'll stop off reading there. We have a dilemma. We have a problem. We need a solution. The problem is there's a whole lot of hungry, tired, weary people, and they do not have enough food. Their solution is this. They say, go out to the villages and buy yourself some food. And he said, no, that's not the answer. The next thing they say, well, let's do something with this little bit that we do have. Neither of those solutions will work. And so we find here there's a solution to the problem because Jesus gives the answer. The problem is, listen to me, I need something. Jesus told the disciples, they don't need to go out. You feed them. Well, if I'm one of the disciples, and I am, my next question would be, how? How can I meet the need? How can I supply that is, here's my word, that is lacking? I have looked at mistakes I find in the King James Bible in reference to listening. Eve listened to the devil instead of God. Adam did too. And then also of learning. Noah didn't learn the lesson of what sin will do even after the flood. This morning I want to deal with this thought. Mistakes in the King James Bible in reference to lack or lacking, needing something. I want to mention in these verses there's a serious problem. I've already tried to magnify it as I have read through. Let me just pause right here. What do you need this morning? What do you need? I can already hear the wheels turning. Some, if you were honest with how you feel, you say, I don't need nothing. I don't need a thing. Well, you got a problem. If you say you don't have a need, you got a worse problem than those who realize they do. Because every one of us needs something. We lack. Mankind lacks. We come short. We don't have enough. We are not able. We are not equipped. There's a lack in every life. So I want to ask you this morning, will you admit that? Will you see your lack? But I want to ask you this question. How are you going to handle your lack? What are you going to do about that you need? Well, that's the mistake these disciples make. They think we'll send them away. Or we'll do the best we can under the circumstances, even though we know it's not enough. I got news for you. Neither one of those were the right plan. And that's how we are so many times when we recognize our need. We don't handle it rightly. That I am using in a nice way and calling it a mistake. I could go further and say it's dumb, but it is. I mentioned first a serious problem. There's a meal problem. Verse 5 says, whence shall we buy bread? Where are we going to get that is lacking? There is a serious problem. There's a meal problem. In other words, he is saying, we do not have what we need. Could I go back? I want to ask you, what do you need this morning? Some, if you were honest, would say, I really do need some faith. The songs have addressed that issue this morning about how we can trust God. But there's somebody here this morning, and I promise you, your real need is that you lack faith. You worry too much. You fret too much. You are wondering, when is God going to move, or is God going to move? Some of us, I say me too, need faith. There may be somebody here this morning, if you were real honest, you'd say, I need boldness. I am afraid to witness. I am afraid to take a stand for God. There may be somebody who would say, I need compassion. I do not care like I need to, like I ought to. I don't even remember the last time I shed a tear over someone. I do not know what your need is. I have no idea, but I want to ask you this morning, will you let God show you your need? There's a serious problem. There's a meal problem, but there's also a many problem. There's a whole bunch of people, and every one of them are hungry. Now, we know there was 5,000. There may be in 10,000, 15,000 or more. But I do know this, whether there was only 5,000 or 15,000, that is too many for me to feed. And so it was with the disciples. That little lunch of that little boy, that wasn't going to be enough. There was a serious problem. These people are hungry. That's serious. They are thirsty. That's serious. And the problem you have this morning, the needs you have, the lack you have is serious. It's a meal problem, a many problem. Maybe your problem, you realize this morning, is big. It is too big for you. You've tried to handle it. You've done the best you can. This serious problem deals with a meal problem and a many problem. It also deals with a me problem. In verse 5, he saith unto Philip, he points out one man. And now instead of 12 men that he's addressing, it's one man that he's addressing. And he is saying, Philip, what you going to do about this problem we got? A me problem. And I want to say one of the biggest problems we have is me, myself, yourself. We get in the way of God if we aren't careful. If we make the same mistake these disciples made, we are getting in the way of God and hindering the mighty hand of God and the powerful work of God in our lives. There's a me problem. And I'll go ahead and say it again. Until we, me and you, are willing to admit, I have a need, I have a problem, we'll never get help. There's a serious problem. There's a specific plan in these verses. There's a big problem. So what are they going to do about it? Well, I ask you this question. What are you going to do about your need? What are you going to do about your lack? There's the disciples' plan. Talking about a specific plan. The disciples say, send them away. Tell them to go to town. It ain't our problem anyway. They the ones that came out here, they can get themselves back where they came and let them eat there. Well, that wouldn't have worked because they were tired and weary. And Jesus said on the other account, that they will faint on the way. So the disciples' plan wasn't a good plan. And so many times, our plan. Now here's what the disciples are saying. They got the Son of God right beside them. The one who has healed, the one who has raised the dead, the one who has performed miracles. And when there's a need, when there's a lack, when somebody needs to get fed, they don't say, well, what are you going to do? We're going to trust you. That's what we're going to do. They say, send them out. And why do we do that? Why do we look to Oprah and Dr. Phil instead of asking God first? We go out to get help when we got the God of heaven in our heart if we're saved. The disciples' plan is dumb. But it's the same plan we use so often. We call the doctor before we call God. We call the banker before we call God. We call the friend before we call God. The disciples' plan. I have a need. Here's how I'm going to handle it. I'm going to find some help. The disciples' plan. But then there's also the Lord's plan. I'll tell you right now, I like that one better. Because it works. And there's not only the disciples' plan, but there's a divine plan. Here's what Jesus did. He knew the need. He knew it better than them. He knew it before them. He knew it before it happened. He knew it before he left heaven. He knew it all along. And he knew what was needed to provide the lack, his plan. Well, what did he do? First, he watched. Mark 6 says, he saw much people and was moved with compassion. The first thing in his plan was to care enough to do something about it. But to care enough to want the thing settled. To care enough to do the right thing. A lot of us don't get there. We care enough to want our life a little easier. And we care enough to want things to work out our way. But to care enough to say, Lord, this is in your hands. However you want to handle it, it's fine with me. But I know your plan is better than my plan, and I'm trusting you with it. He had compassion. He watched. He saw. He looked. I believe his heart was broken because those people were hungry and they were tired and they were weary. He not only watched, but he waited. In Mark 6:35, it says, when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him. It's getting late now. The indication is they've been there a long time. It's been a long day. They're tired. They're weary. They're far from home. They're hungry. They're thirsty. Why didn't he just provide the food earlier? He could have. Why didn't he take care of the problem earlier? Why did he let it get so bad before he moved? He waited on purpose. He let it get so bad that they finally saw how bad it was. He let them get to the end of their rope, to where they realize our only hope is him. If he doesn't do something, this problem will not be settled. The need will not be met. He waited. And that's why he waits for us so many times, to get us to the end of our rope, where we'll quit calling Oprah and we'll realize she ain't got the answer, and we'll quit trying on our own and realize our plan doesn't work, and we'll realize how helpless we are and how big the problem is, and we'll realize he's the only hope I got. He waited until they got exhausted. He washed, he waited. I'm talking about the divine plan. Here's what he does. He waited and then he worked. He washed, he waited, he worked. And he works with the disciples first. In Mark 6:38, he says to the disciples, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. He's got a whole crowd hungry and thirsty, tired and weary. But he first deals with his disciples. That means you and me. Before he deals with our problem, he's probably going to be dealing with us. Before he straightens our problem out, he may just have to straighten us out first. That's the divine plan. By the way, could I just get ahead of myself? It's the one that works. He works. And first he says to the disciples, how much do you have? What did you find in the crowd? Go and find out and tell me. And here's what he did. I'm talking about he worked. Then Mark 6:40. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And John tells us he had them sit down. He's working. But he's doing it his way, in his timing. And I wish we had a crowd that filled this side. You're my guinea pigs this morning. Why did he have them sit down? Okay, do me a favor. All of y'all that can and will, stand up. There you go. You're making it. You're making it. Oh, yeah. You're making it. There you go. That's good enough. Now, back there in the back, if I tell y'all I got food, come and get it. Guess what? You in the back ain't going to make it. Because these in the front going to get it first. Right? But that ain't the only reason he had them sit down. You in the back, what am I doing? Anybody want to guess? I'm twiddling my thumbs. But you in the back can't see it. And if you in the back of the crowd standing up, you can't see what I'm doing down here. And those in the back, had he let them stand, would have not had any idea what he's doing. They'd been saying, what's he doing? What's all that commotion up there? Now, sit down. Now you in the back, you pretty safe now. Because if I say, I got food, but I've told you to sit down, these in the front ain't getting here before you do. Because I got them under control. I like that. But more importantly, you in the back, what am I doing now? Twiddling my thumbs. Thank you. Since you're sitting down, you can see what I'm doing. And when they're sitting down, groups here and there, everyone now sees he's got food, but there ain't much. And he sees, they see, they getting it, they're getting it, they're getting it, they're getting it, they're getting it, to all the way over the crowd. All of a sudden people say, wait a minute, he's multiplying the food. There's enough for all this crowd. Back in the back, somebody says, maybe there's enough for me. If they got help, maybe I can get help. If he's made a miracle out of the first part, maybe he'll make a miracle to where I can get help, right? And my lack will be satisfied. You see, he knew what he was doing. I'm talking about this. His plan works a whole lot better than our plan. He's working. And everybody, not one little child was left out. They all got satisfied. I'm talking about the need was met. The lack was satisfied. And that'll be my last point. I have mentioned the serious problem, the specific plan. Lastly, a sufficient power. Verse 12 says, when they were filled, all of them, and it doesn't stop there, they gathered up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. Now, I'll be honest. I'd have been real thrilled if I'd have been the last one in the crowd and just got me enough to satisfy. Just enough food, just enough bread, just enough fish to make me full, to give me strength. In other words, if my need had just barely been met, I'd have been thrilled. Right? But that ain't how God works. He gave them enough, and just to prove that he could, he gave them more. In other words, he is saying, if you will trust me, I will meet your need. I don't care what your lack is. I don't care what your need is. I'm telling you, he has power. He has sufficient power. He has abundant power to meet whatever needs you have. Guess what? Everybody got food. Everybody got fed, including Philip. The one he addressed first, Philip, what you going to do about it? We just learned to really trust him. So I come to my point. So what? What does this mean to me? Well, it means first. Don't you love a first when I'm about ready to be done? Or you think I should be? First, we need to see. We need to see. We need to see. We need to realize. We need to admit. I got a problem. I have a need, and I can't meet that need. I can't solve the problem. We need to see. We need to admit. We need to be honest. I have a need. I cannot provide. I cannot make it better. I cannot improve on it. I have tried, and I've failed miserably. If I try again, I'm going to fail again miserably. We need to see. But then we need to say. We aren't told, and I hope it didn't happen. But I wonder if anybody from that crowd just said, well, I tell you what, I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm going home. My baby's been crying for 30 minutes already. She's hungry. She needs some food. My husband, my wife, my whatever, we going home. I hope nobody did that. But had they not stayed, they wouldn't have got help. I'm telling you how to get help. I'm telling you how to meet the need. I'm telling you how to satisfy the lack. Stay close to God. Stay where he is. That's what they all did. They stayed where he was and let him work. I'm telling you, getting away from God won't help you. There's a whole lot of people I know personally, because of problems, and they didn't handle it by trusting God. They got away from God, away from church, and I have no idea where they're at right now. But I guarantee you one thing, they're not getting much help from God. And the need is worse instead of better. I need to see, I got a problem, and it's a big one. I can't help myself. We not only need to see, we need to stay, but then less, we need to serve. These disciples helped him. They got the food. The Bible says he gave to the disciples and the disciples to the crowd. Don't stop serving God now. Don't stop putting him first now. Don't light up, let up now. When you need help from God, hunker down more. Serve God more fervently. Not just stay close to him, but serve him. You say, I got a need, I got a need. Find somebody else who has a need and try and help them. I've wondered often, when did the disciples eat? Usually the servants are the ones that eat last, but they did get fed. There's a mistake. The disciples said, let's go to town. Let's do the best we can. Let's try and work it out. And the Lord said, I'm here. If you'll let me, I'll work it out. What you going to do with that problem? You just like me, you ain't done too good so far. And the Lord will make sure you don't do any better from here on out. So the best thing to do is give it to Him. You might be here this morning and you're lost. I want to tell you something. You can't work your way to heaven. That's not a good plan. But the Lord's plan is, if you'll come to me, I will save you. I'll forgive you. Maybe somebody here, you're saved. You know that, but you sure do have a problem. You sure do have a need. I want to tell you, if you'll come to Him and say, Lord, have your will. Work your plan. I'm giving it to you. You know what? He'll start working. Mindy, will you come back and sing that first song again? Let's all stand together. It's going to be an invitation this morning. Give it all to Him. Won't you give it to Him this morning? Father, please speak to our hearts. Oh, God, we surely do so many dumb things trying to work things out ourselves. And we stay and the problem gets worse and worse and we still keep trying. Lord, please help somebody this morning to give it to you. Help some lost sinner come and give it to you. Be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.